sober words. We'd rather hear happy words. But Jesus is quite clear about his expectations for every local church. Be watchful, hold fast what you've heard, repent, or else I will come upon you as a thief. These are the words of Jesus to an ancient church. Could he be saying them to your church or mine? Today, facing up to our obligations as believers. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his 8-part series on what Jesus thinks of his church. We're in Revelation chapter 3, learning about the church at Sardis and our need to heed the call of Jesus to wake up.
And so this may be an appeal to the Christians to say, wake up! Don't you see what's happening around you? Don't you see that your church has lost the gospel? Don't you see that your ministry is not permanently transforming, that people are not coming to Christ as Savior? Wake up! And that's maybe what God is saying to us as a church and as a nation. Don't you see where we are headed? Don't you see that your lives are full of pleasure and all kinds of recreation, and you basically have squeezed me out? Wake up. When I was in Germany recently, I woke up at about 6 o'clock in the morning. It was a Sunday morning, and I heard some bells chiming at a church. And I knew I had missed the first few. And I wasn't going to count the number of bells that were ringing, but I thought, well, all right, the chimes, I should say. I'll begin counting. Well, I counted 14. 6 o'clock in the morning, and you hear 14 chimes. I told somebody in Germany, you know, it's later than it's ever been. Maybe that's what God is saying to us. Folks, it is later in America than it has ever been. Wake up. And then the Lord says, strengthen what remains. You know, there are new believers that are wobbly. There are ministries that are transforming. You strengthen those. You pray and you seek God and you work with others and you do all that you possibly can to rescue what you've got and to make it better. So the scripture says, wake up, strengthen what remains. And then notice Jesus throws this in. If you will not wake up, I'm still in verse 3. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Would you like to be the member of a church where Jesus, when he comes, is against that church? I would not want to be a part of a fellowship like that. Could you imagine it? This is the meek and the mild Jesus that most people know and think that that's all that there is to him. So what he says is, strengthen what remains, and then we'll take imperative 3 and 4 together. Remember what you have received, and number 4 is keep it. Remember what you've received, he says. What is it that they received? Well, certainly the gospel, which apparently had been lost in the church, but they had also received the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit, but they were quenching the Spirit. They were grieving the Spirit. Maybe that's why this letter begins with the words of Jesus, I am he who has the 7 stars in my right hand. And I suppose that the 7 spirits are in his left hand. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the stars on this hand and the spirits in this hand were brought together and the church experienced again the transforming ministry of the Holy Spirit of God? You see, Christianity is a supernatural religion. And if we can explain everything we do by some human explanation, we've not yet understood the fullness of the Spirit and the remarkable work that the Spirit can do among us. I've been a part of revival meetings, particularly in Western Canada in the early 70s, where the Holy Spirit did in an hour what sermons and programs could not do in 10 years. God began to break hearts. There was repentance. There was restoration between teenagers and their parents, and people were making things right, and builders who had cheated people in their building were going and spending great deal of money, actually even mortgaging their houses, to make things right and to pay people off. The conviction of sin was so overwhelming. And so the text says, remember those days when sin troubled you. Remember those days when you struggled against it. Remember that and get back to what made your life transforming and great for the cause of the kingdom. And then he says, repent. And that can be applied to both the dead and the sleeping. Repent. Repent means that we change our mind. We're going in this direction, and then we choose and we go in the other direction because we sincerely turn from our sins to God. Repentance. That's what it is. And Luther was right when he said it's the responsibility of the Christian to live a life of daily repentance. You repent today, I repented this morning, I repented yesterday morning, and I will repent also tomorrow morning, God willing, when I again come before God, deal with the sin issues, turn from that sin to Jesus Christ. And so he says, repent. And you know, you've often heard me say that when you're going to jump across a chasm, it is much better to do it in one long jump than in two short ones. It really is. And when you repent, you might as well do it upright to get to the root, get to the thing that keeps causing you to stumble. And Jesus said, if necessary, pluck out your eye or take off your hand. He's speaking symbolically, but he's saying, whatever you need to do to leave your sin behind and serve Jesus, do it. Do it. And that's the message that Jesus brings to this church. Well, we have looked very briefly at the strong rebuke. We've looked at the remedy, the very clear remedy that Jesus gives. What is now the reward? The reward is literally out of this world. You know, if you did nothing else but read, and I hope that you are reading and rereading the message to the seven churches, if you did nothing else but simply read all of the promises that are made to the overcomers, and if the Holy Spirit of God showed you actually what you were reading, you would absolutely, your mind would boggle, because I can't get my mind around this. This series of messages, by the way, has done a whole lot more for me than I ever guessed it would, because I want to be an overcomer. I want to be among those who receive these rewards. But look at what it says. It says, but I still have some people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. There are those who aren't into immorality and moral impurity and dishonesty and deceit, and you can still take their word to the bank, so to speak, and trust them. There are still some people who have not succumbed to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There are some names, by the way, should underline the use of the word name. Yet you have a few names. God is interested in people. He's interested in names. You'll notice that he does this, and Pastor Hertzberg would want me to tell you that it's very important for us to wear our name tags. By the way, they are a great blessing here at the church. I know more people's names now at Moody Church than I've ever known, because I can read. All right. You'll notice he says, I have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white. Ah, that's a sermon by itself. They will walk with me in white. I mean, imagine walking with Jesus. Right now, as I'm here, I'm remembering a Cub game that I attended, a Cubs game 25, 30 years ago, and afterwards we were where the players were after the game. I don't remember whether they won or lost, although we could all guess possibly, but I mean, this is 20 or 30 years ago. But I remember all these kids trying to get autographs, and they all wanted to take at least a few steps with their favorite hero, their favorite sports personality. Man, Imagine walking with Jesus. Where did you walk today? You know, Jesus and I took a walk. I walked with him in white. Imagine that. Now listen, he says that they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And where does their worthiness come from? They're worthy because they have the right garment. There's no worthiness in the Bible of human beings that is a worthiness that separates us from the grace of God. It is always grace that makes us worthy. But now look, three promises. First of all, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments. And that garment is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, credited to us because Jesus died for sinners. And you see, when we go there, that's why we sing, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne, because we stand in his righteousness and we've got the right robes. But also, we don't soil those robes. We don't take them for granted. We don't say, well, now that I'm a Christian, I can live however I want to live, because we don't want to be soiled, as the other figure of speech would indicate. So we are given white robes. And that's what makes us worthy to be in God's presence. I've said it 100 times. I hope to say it at least 300 times before I die. That's why Jesus is the only possible way to heaven. Nobody else out there has righteousness to credit to us that God will accept. That takes care of all those arguments that take place in university. Well, what's wrong with this person or this religion? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong. They don't have the righteousness to give you so that you can get to heaven. That's one thing that's wrong, and it's the major thing that's wrong. And now we can move on. Am I alone up here today, or is anybody else out there?
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I hope that your heart was encouraged. And I hope that you agree that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, because he alone has the kind of righteousness that the Father accepts. And when we accept Jesus, that righteousness is credited to us. I hope that we all understand that. But my friend today, I need to ask you something. If you are a believer, my question to you is, are you walking with God? You know, the text talks about walking with him in light and in white. That is the greatest honor we could possibly have. So what is there between you and God that prevents the intimacy of knowing that every step you take, God is with you and walking with you? That's my encouragement to you today. And then for those of you who have never trusted Christ as Savior, you're not sure how to even begin to walk with God. What you need to do is to receive Jesus as your Savior, to accept the fact that he died for sinners and that he died for you. And once you've received that, you receive his righteousness, and your walk of faith can then begin.
Erwin Lutzer with more of When Jesus Observes Our Reality, another message on what Jesus thinks of his church. Tomorrow, more about the promises given to those who overcome. We all need to know what Jesus thinks of his church. And this 8-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about what Jesus thinks of his church. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.